Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. A happy Friday to each and every one of you. Travis Ryer back with you. Hopefully you and yours, if they were in the path of Hurricane Helene here in the last 14 to 20 hours, have worked through that event as well as could be hoped. And certainly secondary to that major weather event, we've got another big weekend of college football upon us. Alabama, Georgia, one more time. The Crimson Tide and the Dogs set to serve as the centerpiece for college football on Saturday night. Interesting series. Alabama leads it all time, 43-26-4. Between games played in Montgomery, Birmingham, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama is 23-13-4 at home versus the Bulldogs. You go back a century and you'll find games between these two played on an annual basis in Birmingham. And at about that same time, you'll also see that Georgia hosted this series on occasion in Columbus, Georgia. So it's certainly a series that's been around the block. It's a series that has had very significant games played on neutral site fields, Indianapolis and, of course, Atlanta, which has been very good to Alabama, most recently under Nick Saban. But Kalen DeBoer checking in now for Saban as the Crimson Tide's head coach. Feels like a new starting point in some ways for this rivalry. You know, this time it's in Tuscaloosa, so it's good to see it back on campus. The last time these teams played on campus, it was in Tuscaloosa. So between Kalen DeBoer's coaching debut in the series, you've also got Georgia defensive assistant Treverius Robinson, who worked at Alabama just last year. You've got a former Georgia linebacker in Christian Robinson that is Alabama's linebackers coach these days. Plenty of coaching storylines for this one, not just limited to Kalen DeBoer. Ultimately, though, as is always the case, it's going to come down to what happens between the lines. And with those matchups in mind, here are three predictions for the second-ranked Dogs and the fourth-ranked Crimson Tide on Saturday night. Prediction number one, Georgia will take the lead early. Now, how much that really matters, who knows? Because recent history has told us a couple things. One, Georgia takes an early lead in this series in games against Alabama. And to sort of recap that, consider that in the SEC championship game. Just last December, the Dogs went up 7-0 in the first quarter. Looked like it might be a kind of easy afternoon in the ATL for UGA. But then Alabama proceeded to run off 17 straight points on its way to a 27-24 win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The 2021 SEC championship game, Georgia jumped out to a 10-0 lead, only to see Alabama close that one out 41-14. 2020 in Tuscaloosa, Georgia led 14-7 in the second quarter. Alabama, though, eventually closed out that game on a 24-0 run. 2018 SEC championship game, Georgia led 21-7 in the second quarter, led 28-14 in the second half, before Jalen Hurts rallied the Crimson Tide to a 35-28 win in the SEC title game. Earlier that year, you had the College Football Playoff National Championship game. Georgia, of course, led 13-0 at the half. On comes Tua Tagovailoa in the second half. Crimson Tide goes on with a big assist from that defense. I still don't think that Alabama defense gets enough credit for what happened that crazy night in the ATL. But the Crimson Tide shocked the Dogs, 26-23 in OT. You know, the only meeting of late that didn't see UGA take the lead early was the 2022 College Football Playoff National Championship game. Alabama went up early, defensive battle, maybe a little bit of a blueprint for what we'll see in this one Saturday night. That was like a 9-6 game at the half, but Georgia used a 20-point fourth quarter to register its lone win in the series in what, the last 8 or 9 matchups? So, you know, you look at it from the perspective of this season and kind of how these teams have started games. You know, Alabama has outscored its first three opponents 35-6 in the first quarter and 77-9 in the first half. Meanwhile, in two games against Power Five foes to date, UGA has yet to score a touchdown in the first half, totaling just 9 points in a combined four quarters of first half action in wins over Clemson and Kentucky. In fact, Georgia with just 33 first-half points through three games. 24 of those came against FCS opponent Tennessee Tech in week two. Again, don't get excited either way by what happens early on Saturday night. This is a four-quarter matchup if there ever was one, and typically the data supports that. Up next on our predictions, expect both offenses to be confronted by long fields. Now, turnovers can obviously change all of that, right? You think about last December, big turnover on Georgia's own end that played a big role in Alabama being able to get that three-point win over the Bulldogs. But I think this one, similar to last time, we'll go back to the punters. I mean, UGA's Brett Thorson comes in averaging 49.5 yards per boot. And of his 11 punts this season, six have covered 50 yards or more, and seven have pinned opponents inside their own 20. Now, as for Alabama's James Burnham, he's coming off a career type of performance at Wisconsin. He boasts an average of 46.5 yards, and eight of his 15 punts have traveled 50 yards or more, and six have come to rest inside foes' 20-yard line. Here's the stat, though, that really tells you everything you need to know about this one. Between the two teams, they've allowed just one punt return through three games for 4 yards. Georgia hasn't had a punt returned yet. So net punting. I'm not worried about gross punting. I'm talking net punting. You got guys out there that'll average 49, 50 yards per punt, but then the net is in maybe the mid to high 30s because, you know, the coverage units aren't that good or they're getting hurt on return. So if you're thinking a big play in this area might be on the way Saturday night, it might need to come more so on a punt block than a punt return. And this one also takes us back to the ability to stay on the field, whether it's third down, especially when conversion plays roll around. And Alabama looks to be the more explosive offense of the two in this game. You still need to be able to sustain drives, though. And when Alabama needed it in the fourth quarter, the last time these two teams met, Jalen Milroe's legs were devastatingly effective, more so than even a year ago, too. It appears as if the new staff is fully willing and able to incorporate those legs into the game plan this time around. As for the Georgia offense, Mike Bobo's unit comes in ranked 13 in the SEC in third down conversions. The Alabama defense currently ranks first in the SEC in third down conversions allowed, surrendering a first down just 16% of the time in those situations. Surprisingly, to me anyway, a Georgia defense that has yet to give up a touchdown through three games is allowing conversions at nearly a 40% clip. A lot of that came the Dogs last time out. Kentucky was able to convert 9 of 16 thirds. You know, Brock Vandergriff is a quarterback. He does have the ability to extend some plays, do some things with his legs. Maybe that's something that speaks favorably for what Alabama can do coming up on Saturday night. We'll see. Every week is different. Every week is different. Whenever fans ask me about, wow, did you see Georgia really struggle with Kentucky? Yeah, I saw it. I saw Alabama struggle with USF for 3.5 quarters. The week before that, I've seen Alabama in the past barely get past Auburn. Most recently, on a 4th-and-31 down at Jordan-Hare, only to come back the next week and beat Georgia. I saw 2020. People forget about this game, too. Alabama went to Ole Miss and got absolutely lit up by Lane Kiffin in the Ole Miss offense. And that entire week that followed, oh, no chance against Georgia. This is, heard this so many times going into Georgia games. And, of course, Alabama wins 41-24 over Georgia. Every week is different. So if you're expecting that Georgia, you might be in for an unpleasant surprise. Perhaps there is carryover in this game. I'm just saying, more often than not, you know, it's different, not just in terms of the team that we're focused on, but conceptually. You know, Kentucky does some things defensively that Alabama doesn't do. So there's going to be some changes in that. Perhaps that leads to more favorable matchups for Georgia in this game than maybe even against Kentucky. We'll see. Personnel-wise, you expect Alabama to be the better team. Now, with the potential for unfavorable field position throughout the night, both offenses will need more than explosive plays to dig them out of those situations. So that, again, third down. And what happens when they reach the red zone will be very critical, no doubt about that. Finally, I'm going to go with the team with the most scrimmage yards from its backs will win the game. Now, that kind of goes back to what we were just talking about with sustaining drives and keeping the chains moving. Also notice the use of scrimmage yards instead of rushing yards here. And also the use of backs and not just running backs in making this prediction. This to me is more of an NFL stat when I talk about scrimmage yards than college football, because, well, these teams are closer to NFL teams than they are, let's say, the vast majority of college football teams. So beyond Justice Haynes and Jam Miller, Jalen Milroe, an X factor for the Alabama offense. Perhaps there's something for a guy like Kendrick Law in that regard this week too. We've seen a good bit of jet sweep action and orbit motion and those type of things with Kendrick Law. Maybe there's going to be more in the way of touches. And you look at Alabama in the SEC championship game last December, had just 114 rushing yards, but Jam Miller, if you recall, hit the dogs for a 28-yard touchdown catch on a rail route. Roydell Williams added a catch for 9 yards. So between them, Miller, Williams, and Milroe amassed 200 scrimmage yards between receptions and runs before 4 sacks of Milroe were taken into account. Now, as for Georgia, Florida transfer Trevor Etienne is capable of changing the game in a way that James Cook did before him. Between his body type and his running style, true freshman Georgia running back Nate Frazier, for me anyway, brings former UA star Josh Jacobs to mind. Now, look, Georgia obviously going to have a big absence at the offensive guard position with elite interior OL Tate Ratledge out. I guess I kind of look at that like I would Alabama in a similar situation, in that in a lot of years, that would be simply a next man up situation. But it might be more like Alabama this year, in that dropping down from either Tyler Booker or Jaden Roberts would signify a pretty significant drop off. We'll see. And again, this also goes back to situational football. Third down, maybe fourth down, red zone. Who's able to muster enough conversions for first downs and touchdowns when those key moments present themselves? And remember, you've got 2 very capable kickers in this game too, in case it comes down to a situation like that. All these things will likely go a long way in determining the winner Saturday night. Something else before I get out of here that I fully expect is Georgia to immediately work the quick game to the perimeter, especially if UA is in off coverage. Now, can those corners and Huskies for Alabama set edges and get off blocks and make tackles? Again, Mike Bobo isn't a reinvent the wheel kind of guy as an offensive coordinator. So if he can get easy yards in any area, he's going to take it. Now, Alabama has been okay, I'd say, against the run through 3 games. Not exactly stonewalling, not dominant, not bad. But the underlying vibe seems to be that this is a week of validation for defensive coordinator Kane Womack and his guys. Or, as I call it, an Olin Mills moment, because, as we all know, you don't know how you look until you get your picture took. That's what Saturday night will be for Alabama and Georgia under the lights at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Hey, if you haven't subscribed to our channel as of yet, help us out. Hit that subscribe button right now. You see the notifications bell right there? Hit that as well. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. We would also appreciate a thumbs up. A like would help us out a good bit too. Travis Ryer, thanking you again for watching us here on Ryer on YouTube. Have a great college football weekend. Stay safe out there, everybody. And until next time, so long, everybody.